What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Big game tonight against the Celtics. Certain players being out, and some old players have some things to say about Andrew Bogut rejoining the team. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? Warriors taking on the Celtics tonight in a... I guess a big game. Like, it's weird as I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this Celtics game and the Celtics team, because as I've said before, I believe that they have the most talented depth in the NBA. That they're, you know, 1 through 10, 12, whatever you want to look at it, is that ceiling is higher than just about anybody else's besides the Warriors. And the way they've built it, too, with all the wings that they have, fine front court depth. I mean, it's not great, but Al Horford and Aaron Baines is good enough, and Robert Williams is one hell of an athletic center rookie for them. You know, thought he might be a Warrior on draft night, but didn't work out that way. Man, draft night was tough, especially looking back. I'm a huge draft nerd. Can't wait for this year's draft. Every single year, I can't wait. But there were three players that I liked that went 25, 26, 27. The Warriors picked 28. Took Jacob Evans, hasn't worked out this year, maybe it works out next year. But at 25, it was Mo Wagner. At 26, it was Landry Shamet. At 27, it was Robert Williams. And then 28, Dubs take Jacob Evans. Hopefully it works out, but there's just my little complaining about the draft and who they ended up getting and just how it falls sometimes. Like Landry, I loved Landry Shamet, and he's paid off, he's for sure paid off for not only the Sixers, also the Clippers. But again, I mean, there are bad players that I love too, so whatever. Anyways, after that left turn, we'll make it a U-turn and we'll get back to the Celtics. I have trouble figuring out whether this is a big game or not. I feel like it is, but the Celtics are the 5 seed in the East right now. So at a certain point, expectations and ceiling and all that has to kind of fly out the window and they have to be what they are, which is the 5 seed in the East. And somewhat close, but not very. I mean, they're 2.5 games behind Philly, which is the 4 seed, and 3 games behind Indy at the 3 seed. So maybe I'm just overvaluing them when I say it's a big game, but I still just trust their depth and talent, and a lot of people feel the same way also. From a lot of national analysts I hear, they still think that Celtics will end up coming out of the East. And I don't know. I don't know how to judge them. I'm still very high on them, which maybe I'm just wrong about. Maybe I need to look at it more like they're taking on the 5 seed in the East tonight. You know, they're only, okay, well, not only, they're 6 games better than the Pistons. But maybe I need to look at it like they're playing the Pacers or something where it's a good team, but I still expect the Warriors to give it to them. So it's something I'm working through, guys, and, you know, hopefully... I appreciate your support during this tough time of mine trying to figure out what the Celtics are as a team. Let me know what you think, dude. Hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415, because am I overvaluing them? Am I wrong for, you know, keeping the faith this long that they're good? Is tonight a big game, or is it just another game, another standard Tuesday TNT game that the Warriors, you know, probably smash them? Kevin Durant kind of feels the same way as I do. He was asked about the Celtics and their struggles, and he said, you know, they'll be fine once playoffs start. They'll get it rolling once playoffs start. That's a tough, it's a dangerous game to play, that this team's going to be fine once the most valuable games are starting to be played, once the most dangerous games are starting to be played. But I don't know. I kind of agree with him in a sense. They should be better. I don't know. As you can tell, I'm confused. I don't know what to say. Again, thank you for your kind thoughts during this tough time of mine. But as I was saying, Dubs take on the Celtics tonight. Some news that Klay Thompson will not play this evening. That right knee sprain is still bugging him a little bit. And probably for the best. Probably for the best because, well, I mean, it's for the best because he needs to get healthy. So obviously him playing hurt wouldn't help. But the fact that that Steph, KD, guys like Quinn Cook, who played well last game, Damian Lee, I was wondering tonight also with Klay Thompson being out and not really sure what the status of Alphonso McKinney is, does Damian Lee get the start? That'd be pretty cool. That'd be cool to see. As we know, he had a good game last game, going 4 of 5 from three, all from the corner. We'll see. And then also, we haven't really gotten word on Alphonso McKinney or Andre Iguodala. As we know, Kevon Looney is out tonight. Iguodala most likely will be a game-time decision. Waiting to hear on Alphonso McKinney. I believe he's probable, so we'll see what the situation is, if he starts, how much he plays, how well he plays, all that stuff. We'll see. Jarebko probably going to get some time as well. Quinn Cook, most likely. The Cousins thing, we all have to watch Cousins pretty much on a game-to-game basis as he tries to fit in and continue to get back to what he once was or as close as possible. It's been 3 straight games of 20-plus points. He's averaging 10 rebounds over those 3 games. He went 11-11-8, so that's exactly 10 over 3 games. We will see how he can handle Al Horford, who can stretch the floor, as we all know. He had trouble against Mike Scott and Jonah Bolden last game, and Aaron Baines as well. He's not a prolific shooter, but he'll shoot threes, so he'll have some matchups where he's going to have to defend out on the perimeter, and like I said about last game, it wasn't so much that, you know, they were knocking down threes on him. It's that he was nowhere to be found. He was nowhere in the vicinity, and Draymond Green said after the game that he believed that they stopped switching with Cousins as much because they don't, you know, really think it's a proper defensive strategy with him. But Draymond said that he thinks that he can do it and that that will help at least going up against, you know, fives who can shoot threes, that switching will help. So we'll see if they do change their defensive philosophy with Cousins tonight and how he handles Al Horford and Aaron Baines. And how does he do offensively? Can he continue to knock the rust off? He's been really nice around the rim recently over the last 3 games. The jumper still hasn't really been there. Still want him taking him because I think it'll come back eventually. But it's good to see that his real bread and butter, which is the around the rim game and the post-up game, is there. I'd also like to see the Warriors try and hunt more mismatches for him around the hoop. And I've talked about this before. Instead of just having him go with a center all game, try and get him matched up on a guard or something, you know? A lot of teams are switching right now, so why not run some pick and roll, try and get a favorable switch? We'll see if that happens. Who knows? As far as everyone else, I mean, Steph and KD, let's see how they do without Klay. It's an opportunity that they don't need. Everyone knows who they are, 2 of the best players in the damn world, but Steph kind of struggled last game. He went 5 of 14 from 3. He's been shooting, I think, 37, 38% since the All-Star break. And Marcus Thompson had a piece out recently that mentioned Steph has never shot worse from 3 in the second half of the season or post-All-Star break than he has pre-All-Star break. So it's always been better post-All-Star break than it has pre. So he'd shoot 41% from 3 pre-All-Star break. Post-All-Star break shoots 44. But right now, this is the first time ever that it's been worse. And we'll see if it corrects itself or whatever. It's still not bad, but he has not been himself for the last couple games. So it'll be interesting to see if playing the Celtics kind of wakes him up a little bit. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more about the Celts game tonight. And then also, Steph had some things to say about Andrew Bogut returning. And I'm sure you'll all be surprised to hear that they were very positive. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Just finished talking about the Celtics and the Dubs tonight on TNT. Another national game, obviously, for the Warriors. Taking on the Celts, who I am having trouble nailing down as far as what they are as a team. I still have high expectations. I still think their ceiling is just about as high as anyone in the game, but they're the fifth seed, man. I got to get over it. But anyways, Dubs are bringing back a familiar face in Andrew Bogut. Bogut. Terrible Australian accent attempt by me. You're going to hear that a lot more now that Bogut is back. And, well, not officially back yet. He's still waiting for his letter of clearance, I believe it's called. I think I called it a buyout last episode. My apologies. Do things a little differently in Australia. God, I'm the worst. But anyways, Bogut is coming back. I'm intrigued by the fact that he's coming back. I mean, if regardless of what team he comes back to or was going to come back to, I'd be intrigued to see how he played. He was a great warrior at one time. Great rim defender. Above average vertical spacer. Not incredible. When motivated, can run the floor. All these things. I'm sure you guys have seen the Bogut highlights from the Australian League. His time with the Sydney Kings. You can see he looks slender. He looks good. So I'm intrigued to see how he can play and what he can do, if anything, with the Warriors. Also, real quick, on the Sydney Kings, kid named Brian Bowen, who turned down college offers to go play overseas, try and make some money, and, you know, do the circumventing. Shout out Arrested Development. Circumvent the NCAA. And it's been up and down for him there, but he was on the Sydney Kings also, so I'm wondering maybe eventually Bob Myers might be like, hey, what's up with this kid? That's a whole nother thing for a whole nother day. Again, just another random left turn I took. But anyways, Bogut coming back to the Warriors. As we all know, former Warrior, played with Steph, Clay, Draymond. Him and Draymond were a formidable duo in the front court, especially defensively. Steph was asked about getting Bogut back and just kind of how he felt about it and all that good stuff. And here's what Steph had to say.
Very exciting. Weird, blast from past, all that combined. Obviously, I know they got a couple more steps before it's official, but he's a guy that we have a lot of experience with. He knows our system. He knows how we do things around here. He was instrumental in, you know, that turnaround to become a championship caliber team. The fact that he's doing what he's doing in Australia, obviously, he still loves to play the game, so I know he'll be able to help us.
What did you think when they presented you with the idea? Were you, like, shocked that it was...
For sure. Like, you know, I figured once he went to Australia, that would probably be the last we saw him in NBA circles. So when his name came up, I thought it was kind of one-sided. Like, this, we're familiar with him. We like him. Let's call him and see if he's interested. I didn't get the mutual vibe, so and now it's about to happen. So it's pretty good.
What do you think, Andrew, for guys defensively?
What he's done his entire career. Who knows how many minutes he'll play and what the situations will be. Obviously, with DeMarcus back, but brings toughness, high IQ, rim protector. Just the physical toughness that it's kind of hard to find. So, all those things.
What are some of your favorite memories of Bogut, your time together?
There's a lot. He has a whole bunch of one-liners and I call him cynical, but it's real entertaining in terms of just he's so consistent. And we love that about him in terms of shows up, he does his job, he goes to work every day, knowing what he's trying to get out of it, but he's kind of, his mannerisms, disposition, all that, if you really get to know him, you love it.
There is Steph on Andrew Bogut. I am also excited to see what he brings to the team, what he's got left, all that stuff, because one thing we've learned over the last, two and two-third seasons, I guess, without him, is what he did as a rim protector and a defender, that's hard to find. It wasn't overrated or anything. It was almost underrated. And I understand he had his flaws at times. I know it was a tough breakup, so to speak, etc. But when he was on, man, they haven't had a rim protector like Bogut since Bogut, obviously. So I'm intrigued. And then also for me, I mean, I always go way too far, but, you know, who knows what the future holds. If he plays well, I doubt he'll play every single game. He'll be more of a matchup player, I assume. But if he plays well, who knows what the future holds. Maybe he's back with the Warriors again next year as a backup, most likely. Or who the hell knows? Maybe it doesn't work out at all. But either way, I'm excited to find out. I think it's a much better option than what was left out there after Robin Lopez did not get bought out, after Dwayne Dedman did not get bought out, after Wesley Matthews signed with the Pacers. I think it was the way to go. Instead of going after Marcin Gortat or anything, go get Bogut, who has only played, you know, 30 games over the last 5 months because that's how they play in Australia. See what he's got left. What the hell? Why not? But again, he won't be here for another week or so. Maybe that March 10th game against Phoenix is when we'll first see him. But who knows? Who knows? I do want to say real quick, moving on from Bogut and the Warriors, I'm going to gloat every single day about the fact that the Lakers are 5.5 games out of the 8 seed. Because I love it. I love it. I predicted they'd miss the playoffs much earlier in the season. I thought the 8 seed is what they'd have to be aiming for. I know other people said 4th, 5th, whatever. And look, I'm wrong about a whole lot of stuff. But if I get one thing right, you're going to hear about it for a long time. And that's what we're doing here, okay? I'm just loving the fact 5.5 games out of the 8 seed with only 18 games left to play for them. Again, I won't completely count him out. And by him, I mean LeBron James, until he is out. But this is a pretty tall order right now, and it's not looking good. And I'm pretty excited about it. I just didn't love that he went to the Lakers. Don't love the Lakers either. So, yeah, I'm sure most of you out there agree with me. Now, if we can loop back to the Celtics, I should have done this first. But Kyrie Irving, man, is there a more annoying player, or at least more annoying interview besides Kyrie Irving? Is there a bigger discrepancy in loving what the player does on the court and hating what they say and do off it than Kyrie Irving? Incredible player. But all his faux intelligence and all the bullshit that he spews is so damn annoying. The most recent, so after unpromptedly telling Boston he's going to re-sign with them, and then a couple months later saying I don't owe them shit, and all the flat earther stuff, and just all this annoying stuff, he comes out and says, I don't want to be a celebrity. I didn't get into this to be a celebrity. Like, I'm not chasing that. Dude, you just did an Uncle Drew movie. Like, the guy who is trying to get to New York City or L.A. and just put out his own movie about an old basketball player and does a million endorsements is complaining about the fact that people recognize him. Look, most of the stuff, I don't get on people for the whole, oh, well, you're a basketball player, you make millions of dollars, you have to do this. Because regardless of how much money they make, it doesn't change the fact that they have to do things they don't like, etc. I understand. But when you are doing things outside of basketball specifically to get you celebrity, and then you complain about the fact that's just stupid. That's dumb. And I'm not hearing it. He's just so damn annoying off the court and in his interviews. I don't know, man. Maybe him and KD deserve each other. I almost want to see them team up to see about 6 months later they both realize, like, this guy's kind of annoying. He's kind of sensitive both ways, both of them. But we'll see. I still hope KD sticks around. Don't take that the wrong way. But, yeah, just Kyrie Irving stuff. As the Warriors getting ready to play the Celtics, I just had to get that off my chest also. Going to take one last break. Come back. Wrap this thing up. You are listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton. I'm your host. What's good? Just finished complaining about Kyrie being annoying. Could do, I don't know, a week's worth of shows on that, but we're not gonna. We'll leave that there for now. We'll see what happens with tonight's game, and maybe I'll do another show about how annoying he is tomorrow. As far as League Pass picks are concerned, six games tonight. I mean, I try and stay away from picking Warriors games because we're all going to be watching them anyways. But Warriors Celtics, have to watch it. Best game on the schedule tonight. There's also Raptors Rockets. Rockets, as we all know, have been hot in the last however long, ever since James Harden said, I'm going to go score 35 plus a game. So those are the ones I would be checking out. Thunder T-Wolves is also on tonight. I don't know. That's up to you. T-Wolves are six games out of the eight seed, so doesn't look like it's happening. Thunder haven't been great recently, though. So, I don't know. This is another game where T-Wolves could upset the Thunder and, you know, knock them down the old standings a little bit, but we'll have to wait and see. So, for tonight, Celtics-Warriors, definitely check that out. Let me know if I'm wrong about the Celtics. I'm so confused by them. Rockets-Raptors and Thunder-T-Wolves. Enjoy it. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.